When I moved from Michigan to Kansas, I thought I had gone to the end of the earth. Then Brother Jerry asked me to come and preach down here, and I knew I had made it. What'd you get, 2 points out of that, Brother Larry? Did you get 2 points? That's one lesson in Caldwell. You're digressing.
I remember that.
That's where he was. He preached 3 points. We don't ask him to come back anymore. We thought he was a three-pointer. No, we enjoyed that thoroughly, very much so. It's hard to preach those 5 points there in Romans chapter 8. You need at least one message per point, if not more. The Lord has given me this message. I truly believe that. And as the two men have already brought theirs, one on grace and one on the purpose of God, we want to note, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And I'd like to read a few verses here. My subject is the mission field. And that's the purpose, or one of the purposes for this church, is to go forth and spread the gospel, His grace, unto all the world. That's one of the purposes of this church. Another purpose is to baptize them whom the Lord has saved. And the other purpose is to edify them that believe. That's the work of the Lord's church. That's it. No entertaining. No carrying on. And all those three things you can sum up in this way, Ephesians 3:21, to glorify God in His church.
Amen.
Those three things will glorify God.
Yes.
I'd like to speak just on one aspect of that, and that is the mission field. In Matthew chapter 13, and again, we'll not read all of this. I'm sure you know these parables. Matthew 13:24. Another parable put He forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field." Then, if you look over into verse 36 of Matthew 13, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and His disciples came unto Him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one." Again, our subject is the mission field. And you can categorize it however you like. I've heard some, they'll refer to the foreign field. And certainly there is. There's the foreign field as far as outside of our nation. There's the local field as far as where we're at now. And then another field that is often neglected, which I'll speak on later in the message, is our home field. Many Baptists are neglecting their own homes in which they live. They're neglecting to train up their children, and not just to discipline or correct them, but to preach the gospel to them. That's being neglected. And so we want to speak upon this subject. It has occurred to me that this church, the church that I pastor, the churches that you are members of in their individual places, we cannot all, or each individual church, cannot evangelize the whole world. But what one of us cannot do, all of us together can do. And that's why we cooperate with one another. That's why when one church has, as the Holy Spirit leads, to send forth a man, we cooperate with them. We pray for them. And we send offerings. We support with prayer and purse, as other men have put it. Because why? Because God has commanded it. I believe in limited atonement, particular redemption, whichever one that you prefer. They're the same thing. They both just bring out different aspects. I believe in election as much as any brethren here does. But I know that God's Word has told us to preach the gospel to every creature. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, if they're elected, then what's the point in preaching? They'll be saved. Well, number one, because God told us to preach. He told us to preach. And that's why we need to go ye therefore. Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 still says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," or make disciples. And I know that it's God who makes them. I know that. We preach, God takes it and makes it effective. That's our part. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, we are laborers together with God. Our part is to spread the gospel. His brother Larry commented, he said, we don't see people being saved. Well, you know, in my garden where I didn't plant any seed, nothing grew. Well, what do you expect? If we're not planting the gospel seed, then how can any be saved? That's the problem that Sovereign Grace Missionary Baptists are failing to do. And so may God help us. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not emphasize, number one, it's to be preached, not acted out. And number two, we're to declare the gospel. Because that is the only thing that will take a lost, dead in trespasses sinner and quicken them and bring them to life. I know they're dead in sin. I know it means corpse dead. They don't know it, but I do. And I also know this. As Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. Did Lazarus rise forth from the grave? Not until Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. That's when he came forth. It wasn't until Jesus said that. And I know that men are lost and they're dead and they're in trespasses and sins and they cannot come to Christ except my Father draw them. And how does He draw them? With a glorious gospel from my mouth and yours. That's how. That's how I was brought unto the Lord. You know, Jesus still says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Well, how shall they come? By the power of God. Baptist preachers, I've heard them, they'll say, well, you can't tell a lost sinner to come. Jesus did. He sure did. And they came, didn't they? I remember on Sunday, it was Sunday morning, in the song service, May 9th, 1999, after I sat under the gospel preaching for 17 and a half years, didn't even give an invitation. I wasn't waiting for one either. I came to the Lord and let it be known right then. Yeah. Well, I didn't know why I came. I knew that the Lord, I found out later everything about it. I'm still finding out about it. That the Lord drew me. Yeah. And He loved me before then. All I knew is He was the door and I was walking through it. Yeah. And that's what we need to share with them that are lost. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 24, verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It's already been begun at Jerusalem. You look in the book, in Acts, Jesus told them in Acts 1, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Holy Spirit's already come upon His church. Let's go. He's already been poured out upon the church. Then He said, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Do you realize that's exactly how they went? It was first Jerusalem and then Judea and then Samaria. And now we're to go into the uttermost part of the world. That's our job. That's what God put us here for. This church in Denham Springs is to be the light in this area of the gospel of Christ. We know that old chorus. We sing it in Sunday school and a lot of people say, well, it's for the young people. I'll tell you, some old people better start singing it. And that's this little light of mine. Don't ever get away from those simple choruses. That's the simplicity of the gospel. The Bible tells us as well, in John 20 and verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. You know, the Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Well, how did He give Him? He sent Him to Calvary for us. And we're to do, as the Jesus said here, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And Jesus tells us to take up our cross daily and follow me. Are there not things that we should be setting aside and sacrificing in this world that we will take the gospel to lost men, women, boys, and girls that they might be saved? Some of you, you know, people say, well, if they're elect, God will bring them into the church and they'll hear the gospel. Some of you weren't saved sitting in the Lord's church. I know Brother David wasn't. He told me time and again. And some of you weren't. Some of you didn't even hear it from a Baptist. It's because somebody took the gospel to you. So this is our duty. You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, let's turn there. I don't have it written down. I didn't quote these. I wrote them down. I'm not going to lie to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. The Bible tells us here concerning this wonderful truth. It says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We're ambassadors. He's the King. He's the head of this church. And He sent us as ambassadors to go forth into all the world and to beseech them that are lost, that they might come to Him and be reconciled. That's what we're to do. And we're not doing it like it was once done. I realize we have many difficult things ahead of us, but this part of the Great Commission must not be withheld from being done and being performed. It's the first thing in the Great Commission. Someone told me once, they said, well, our Baptist churches are getting old. They're getting up in years, the members are. We don't have any young people. We don't have any younger people. I said, we need to freshen things up. I said, no, you don't have to freshen things up. You need to preach the gospel. You need to go ye therefore. Spread the word of God. That's what we need to do, and I know it because God told us to. As Brother O'Neill brought that wonderful message on grace, we've heard that before. That's all I've ever heard. That's all I've ever heard. But there are some who've never heard it because we've never taken it to them. They're dead. I know that. Some great missionary hymns. Baptists are afraid to sing. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus will save. They say, oh, you can't save that? They're not perishing. They're already dead. Well, I'm going to tell you what. They're going to be more dead one day and it'll be all too late. Such hymns as Send the Light. I believe if Paul was a certain kind of Baptist today and he heard that Macedonian call and them from Macedonia said, come over and help us, Paul would say, well, are you elect? I'm not coming over unless you're elect. That's the attitude that a lot of Baptists are taking today. Or they'd say, well, you come to church. What'd Paul do? The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 16 that he endeavored to go over to them. That's what we need to do. We endeavor to do everything else. We make so much provision for the flesh, it's absolutely ridiculous. We need to make provision for them that are lost, and by that I mean we need to tell them about Christ. Whether it be by distributing tracts, whether it be by visitation, whatever. I'm not telling you to start a visitation program. But I'll put the question to you as I put it to myself. Do your neighbors who you're friendly with and you converse with, do they know that you're covered by the shed blood of Jesus? Or do they think you're just religious and you go to church every Sunday? Do they know what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary? Do they know that? Do your coworkers know that? Or do they just know that, well, no, I go home to my family at the end of the night, so I can't go gamble or drink beer with you? Do they know why you won't do that? Well, the answer is probably not. We need to be more vocal and spreading the Word of God. I plead guilty. I play the part of the hypocrite. But I tell you, the Bible tells us to redeem the time. And part of that is spreading the gospel. I believe exactly what Jesus said when He said that harvest is not 4 months away, but I tell you that the fields are already white to harvest. In this area, I believe in Denham, there are those that are lost, are the lost sheep. I believe the fields are white and you need to go forth. I believe the same thing in Caldwell. Been there 4 years. I haven't gone forth like I should have. People say, well, we've already gone forth in this area. Well, go again. Go again. Spread the gospel. Look over in John 4 if you would. This is a tremendous truth. You know, it's an amazing thing. I believe in election. I believe in predestination. I believe in those 5 points that Brother Wilson intended to bring out. I believe in grace. I believe in sovereign grace. I also believe that sovereign grace goes forth and plucks the sinner as a brand out of a fire. I believe that. In John chapter 4, you'll note here, the Bible tells us in John 4 and verse 4, and He must needs go through Samaria. Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Why? So that woman at the well would come under the preaching of sound grace, that she might be saved. You read all the Scriptures. Remember what God did for the Ethiopian eunuch? He sent Philip to him. Remember what He did with Paul on the road to Damascus? He said, you go into the city and there'll be a man there to talk to you. Remember Cornelius? He sent Peter to him. They all came under gospel preaching. You know, people say, well, you know, they'll just come into the church if they're elect. No, they won't. No, they won't. Many people are saved. Doesn't mean they're, just because they're not Baptist doesn't mean they're not saved. We need to go forth. The fields are white with harvest. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. I remember when I was a kid and we sang that wonderful hymn, Bringing in the Sheaves. I didn't know what a sheaf was. I grew up in a city. I thought they were singing Bringing in the Cheese. I didn't know anything about sheaf. But you can't bring the sheaves in unless you go forth out into the harvest. And that's what we need to do. I didn't say everybody we talked to would be saved. But again, I said, nothing will grow where nothing's planted. And the good seed, that's the gospel. Matthew chapter 9. The gospel of Matthew chapter 9. I know this is something that's troubled me. I'm sure it's troubled some of you. You know, Brother O'Neill and some of these older preachers in age, you've told me, said, you know, conferences, they'd go a weekend and people would want them to go another one. It doesn't happen anymore. Why not? Well, I ain't got nobody to supply my pulpit for on a continual basis. I got to get back and take care of the flock that God set me over. And so do you, brethren. And we say, well, God's not raising up any men. Then follow the instructions of Christ in Matthew 9, and where the Bible tells us in verse 37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. That ought to be a constant prayer of every Baptist church. that God would raise up men to send into the harvest. I've heard of churches, and they'll have in their, their missionary, and they'll send a man. It'll be like this church here, Boyd, and saying, we're going to call a man to be a missionary in Denham Springs. That's foolishness. This church is the light. You don't need a missionary in this area. You're all missionary. It's no more the pastor's job than it is your job to spread the gospel. I tell you that I have failed in my duty, as Paul told Timothy, to be an evangelist. I failed to do that as I should. I have not done it as God has commanded me. We have that responsibility. Because I am convinced that no man shall be saved who never hears of that wonderful sovereign grace. How can they believe unless they hear? How shall they hear unless one shall be sent? Isn't that what Romans chapter 10 tells us? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear unless we tell them? And if we believe what we say we do, we're the only ones that God ever sent. You want a Methodist to go and do it? They're going to tell him, well, God will take your works. That's not grace. The world has not heard of the grace of God. Because Baptists are not declaring it. That's our problem. That's why churches are shrinking. God's in the saving business. God's in the adding unto the church. We're in the preaching business. That's where my work ends. Preaching and watering. Sowing and watering. That's where it is. God will give the increase in His day. And I'll leave that up to Him. I'm not going to force people, drag people down the church aisle. It won't do no good, no how. But I'll spread the gospel to them. Now let me move on, because I want to get to this important point this evening. If you look in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. I believe Spurgeon preached from this text, and his subject was the home mission field. And he tells us here in Hebrews 9 and verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. And I've heard Baptists say and churches say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Whatever ability God has given you. It's like my father always told me. I said, well, I don't know what to tell people. He said, tell them how God saved you. Isn't that what Paul did? How many times we read in the book of Acts, Paul rehearsed unto the kings how God saved him on the Damascus Road. That was Paul's message. What God did for him. I can't tell other people what God did for you. I don't know all He's done for you. But I can describe with absolute detail what He did for me. That's our gospel. Paul said it was my gospel. Because it was his good news. Because Christ did it for him. And I have absolutely no problem telling every lost sinner I come into contact with that if you'll believe on Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Because I know they will. I know they will. That's exactly what Paul told the Philippian jailer. He said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, thou shalt believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. You know, it's not drunkenness that sends a man to hell. It's not even murder. It's the sin of unbelief. That's what sends a man to hell. It's not even the fact that God didn't elect him. It's the sin of unbelief. That's what sends people to hell. God doesn't send people to hell.
That's right.
They go there because of their own sins. I don't have time to elaborate on that point. But I'd like to note this evening before we conclude. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I believe the most important and most neglected mission field is that of our own homes. Remember Joshua, those wonderful words, you see them all up above houses or in homes. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, part of serving the Lord is to spread the gospel to your children. And again, I can't make my son saved. I can't add him to the Lord's church after he is saved. But I'm going to tell you this. He's going to know how to be saved. He's going to know everything about the gospel. He's going to know about the Lord's church. Some of you have some children who aren't saved, but they can recite how one is to be saved. And the reason is because the Holy Spirit hasn't quickened them yet. That's God's job. That's His work. He quickens. But it's my responsibility to preach and to do as God has commanded me. And that's to declare His glorious gospel. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42, what did Andrew do when he saw Jesus? When John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God," what did he do? He ran and found Simon Peter, his brother. And he told him, "We have found the Christ." What did Lydia do? She opened up her home unto Paul. And her children, her whole household was saved and baptized. The Philippian jailer did the same thing. Cornelius had assembled all of his family together to hear Simon Peter preach. That is the most important mission field, is our homes.
Right.
If you'll pardon the expression, I'm not boasting, I'm not bragging, but I'm a fourth generation Baptist preacher. I sat underneath my father and my brother who sat underneath my father, who sat underneath my grandfather. I'm a third generation Baptist. I'm a preacher. I'm a fourth generation Baptist. I believe like begets like. And I believe a Baptist home ought to produce a Baptist child. And we're failing to do that. One of the most awful things I've ever seen is a Baptist parent letting their child go off to church with their friends at the great whore, Mystery Babylon. That is atrocious. And one of the reasons it happens is because Baptists no longer are declaring the distinction between my church and the great whore. That's a downright shame. People want to know why there's no youth in our church? It's because the parents aren't doing their job. This is certainly what we need to do. Look to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll end momentarily. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. You know, if nobody had ever told me about the grace of God, I'd still be like John Newton, throwing stuff overboard trying to get to shore up by my own strength. Like those sailors there with Jonah. Jonah told him, he said, "You got to throw me overboard." And what'd they do? They tried to row to shore. Well, I tell you what. We need to hear the wonderful Word of God. Look at what Paul says about Timothy. In 2 Timothy, I apologize, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Paul tells Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Who do you think Timothy had learned them from? His mother and his grandmother. Lois and Eunice. Paul said, he said, "I know their unfeigned faith," and he said, "I believe it now dwelleth in you." Verse 15, here it is, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." He knew the scriptures. Didn't we hear, brother? Dodson tells us about the writer of Amazing Grace. His mother taught him the scriptures. She taught him about that amazing grace. What if she'd never done that? I'm not trying to take away from the power of God and His election and His predestination and all. I'm trying to emphasize to you our work and our responsibility to God as members of the Lord's kind of a church. And I believe those two things, election, predestination, foreordination, foreknowledge, all of those things, and spreading the gospel go hand in hand. They complement one another. They cannot be separate because it is God's purpose for this church to spread that gospel. It is the means whereby they will hear of Christ. I heard of a story regarding a missionary or an evangelist. Someone said to his son, they said, "Boy, it must be a grand thing to be the son of that evangelist." And the boy replied, he said, "I do not know, for he is always evangelizing, and a father he is not." That's a sad state of affairs in that house. That man forgot to evangelize his own home. He forgot to spread the seed right there. And that is going on in many different places. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And if I quoted that wrong, I'm sure someone will let me know. But that's the gospel. I know lost sinners are dead in trespasses and sins, and they cannot move. They are corpse dead. We might as well be talking to a corpse in a cemetery that's been long dead and buried. But the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That's why we can tell lost sinners, you need to come to Christ. Because when we speak those words and the Holy Spirit takes them and He opens the heart as He did Lydia's and He pricks them as He did Paul and He arrests them, He will draw them to Him and they will be saved. And that's the only way they will be saved. I'm going to stop now before I go too far and ruin this. Isn't that right, Brother Jerry? So may God help us that will carry forth the gospel.